Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Kiara Casey. She's a Utica College graduate with a degree in psychology and a minor in healthcare ethics. She's a residential counselor at Open Sky Community Services and a soccer coach for FC Stars. I have Justin Dorsey. He's a lead HR consultant at Employer Flexible with a passion for people. And I have Dr. Cole Galloway, a recovering academic working in social justice and disability, primarily with babies, as the founder of Go Baby Go. The question today, why does being unique sometimes allow you to stand out in a positive way and other times just make us weird? Cole, kick us off.
Oh, this one really got me. I usually don't get like triggered, but I was like, from all the weirdos in the world, unite. No, but this was such a great question because it had unique, positive, and weird in it. Mm. All things that I describe myself at, and sometimes my bosses have gone like a little heavy on the unique or the weird, a little less on the positive. So I saw this as a fit question, fit with the workplace, with the home place. And as usual, I'm thinking culturally and sort of justice-wise. And one person's unique is such a great asset. So I thought of fit and the importance of fit and unique and positive and weird are all judgments in my view of an organization or a person onto another person. So that's what kind of got me like, wait a minute, what are we talking about?
Nice.
I honestly felt very similarly. I don't know if maybe I'm still stuck in the holiday spirit, but I couldn't help but think of Rudolph in Misfit Island and all of those other lovely underdog stories that kind of revolve around our society. I think, like we said, like unique, weird, positive are all judgment words. And I think they hold a lot of subjective value. I think what really stuck out to me was, am I unique and a one of a kind in a positive way when I'm meaningful to the group I'm a part of, when people see my value? And if that value isn't shared or understood, am I weird? Under the judgment of who am I one of a kind and unique and special and positive versus, well, this is weird because it's unknown and not useful to us here.
I really took some time just to think about kind of to Cole's point, the concept of cultural fit in the workplace has been maybe a bit overused and maybe also can kind of backfire on companies. If you're only focusing on cultural fit, you're going to get a bunch of people that are very like-minded and maybe some groupthink going on. Mm-hmm. And so I've always liked the concept of cultural add. And from a DEI perspective, mm-hmm. somebody can bring something new, fresh to the table, while also still like fitting in with the group on some level. So it's a balance to have the ability to go against the grain, speak up, be seen and heard in the workplace, but also not doing that 100% of the time to where no one wants to work with you.
So when I asked the question, what I was thinking about is that if I'm in a space where I feel like I'm weird, is that me or is that the space I'm in? Am I determining that I'm weird and don't fit here? Or am I getting feedback from the space, from, you know, from the culture that I'm weird and don't fit in here?
Two things that with the previous folks talking, is this an individual saying positive, unique, or weird? Which is, by the way, that's a cool icebreaker for like a dinner party. Positive, unique, or weird. Janice.
You have to throw in an eclectic. You have to have that's eclectic right. in there too.
Kill Mary or whatever. but is it an individual judging positive, unique, or weird? Or is the group kind of judging? And as soon as I thought that, I was like, oh, I don't like an individual to judge. But if the group mentality is a certain way, then some way I give that more respect. But to Justin's point, we have so many DEI examples of group mentality. So that breaks down. The group is going to make the best decision. No, the group is going to be in and out. And now we're fighting that same old, same old. Mm-hmm. The second quick thing is that it made me think of, I guess, distraction from the mission or from the, if we all agree that we're going to bake the best bread ever and you keep wanting to bake pizza dough and you can't convince anyone else that we should expand the business, then yes, you're unique and you're fine. The pizza is great. It's just not our deal. It's just not what we're going after.
I'm wondering then, as a group, how do we decide, okay, yes, we're all on board. We're all working together. This is great. Everybody's weird in their unique way. It's wonderful. And how do we decide you're trying to bake pizza dough and the rest of us aren't? You need to stop doing that.
I'll take a shot at that one, because recently I heard a term at an HR conference that I really have kind of attached onto because I relate with it. I think it's part of my uniqueness, and because we've often talked about type A's and type B's and betas, and it becomes almost an insult. It's, oh, this person's a beta. And but I heard it kind of reframed from the perspective of a non-dominant. And I would put myself in that type of category. I'm not going to take over the room or the meeting typically, but I do have opinion and I want to be heard and I want to be seen and I want to have value. And so we've really got to be intentional about not letting the non-doms get interrupted or overpowered by the type A's in the room, and making sure that they're heard and they're given a voice, because otherwise it just seems like the alphas will take over and kind of go off on their own direction. So we need to recognize the uniqueness of everybody in the room, whether we think it's good or bad, but ultimately it's contributing to a different perspective on the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think what I'm also sensing a lot from our conversation is that I think the group has to have an overwhelming sense of empathy and the ability to embrace those around us. No matter what group you find yourself in, a person's uniqueness can be interpreted as a strength or a weakness by the group and the individuals within it. But I think it's also important to remember the frame of reference and our own worldview that can very much jade our own view. And looking at this and going, well, this person's an alpha, they're going to take over the room, and that's our perception of them. But also, what if they were a non-dominant that got sick of not being heard? Where does that shift come from? And how did we adjust our own selves because we felt weird and had to shift our own personality, our own perspective to become more unique for the group? How do we meet the needs of the group and still maintain our uniqueness is probably where I would take us further.
Yeah, good point.
And I've had a recent situation where a weirdo turned into a wonderful person simply because I stopped judging knee-jerk reaction and got to know the person. And we all, at a party or at a discussion, we'd all go, no, that's exactly what you do. And I know better. And this was in a theatrical kind of arts community where weird is celebrated, and I still did it. Wow. So I'm wondering if that unique, weird, positive, A, B, whoever, is that from really understanding and listening, or is it really more about us and that reflection?
I feel like when someone's judged as weird and that outcast us them is created, there's usually some kind of shortcut that's been used, some kind of heuristic of, oh, you know what, I talked to Cole and Cole talked to them and he told me this, and therefore, and we don't even know we're doing it. Like, our brains do that so fast.
So bad though, right? So bad. And
well, and something that I don't think really ever gets talked about in the workplace, or at least not very often, is self-esteem. We talk about self-confidence, and that can be false bravado a lot of times, but like, we don't realize our own insecurities that we're projecting onto others and judging them in that category like y'all are talking about. And we don't think about how we help others with their self-esteem, affirming them in a language that they'll appreciate and respond to. So I think it all is kind of interconnected with what y'all are saying.
Mm-hmm. Make it work fun. That's that other, I think there maybe was a question in a previous quick hits. Can work be fun? Can work be, look, is love and work go together? Mm-hmm. And I love all those kind of questions, because it challenges that work is somehow different than other life. And it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm. And I think we're all allowed to be unique and weird and special and eclectic and all of those things. But I also do feel like there's a certain amount of norming that has to happen for anything to get accomplished. Like, if you decide you want to be unique and drive on the wrong side of the road, that's a problem.
And right.
I think that's the challenge with this, is how do you allow people to bring them their best selves and all the ideas and all of the things to be the best we can while still not creating absolute chaos.
Yeah. Relationships. Ugh, the humanity of it all.
I know, exactly. Well, that is our 10 minutes. So I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.